Becoming a loving being, this energy field of love, and we must talk about what that means. It's not sentimentality. What the world calls love is coming out in an energy field in here. It's talking about dependency, it's talking about control, it's talking about sentimentalism and emotionalism, an emotional sentimental attachment in which there is control going back and forth. The satisfaction of desiring this on both sides is called love. See, Hollywood version. When you hear somebody say, I used to love George, but I don't anymore, what it means is that they never did love George. What they mean is they had a sentimental attachment, sort of a solar plexus kind of a hanging onto, which the person then romanticized and glamorized within their life and poured a lot of emotional energy. So that when that tie was broken, up came a lot of negative emotion. The kind of love we're talking about is unconditional love. Unconditional love. And what is unconditional love? That's an inner decision that we make within ourselves. See, the intention. It's coming out of the intention and the decision to be a loving person. So, if I decide to love you, that is my inner decision. There is nothing you can do about that. Therefore, I'm not the victim of what goes on in the world, because my decision to love creates a stable energy field of unconditionality. So the other person's behavior may not please me, may not contribute to what I desire, but it doesn't change the lovingness. So the mother, for instance, who visits her son in prison for 20 years, the son who is a murderer, loves the beingness, the isness, that which the person really is. Of course, his behavior does not make her happy, but the love is unconditional, no matter what he does. And so the closest to it that we see in our world is the lovingness of the mother, which is unconditional. The lovingness of 12-step groups, such as Alcoholics Anonymous, which I've used as an example in other talks. The unconditionality of that lovingness. Unconditional love is not concerned with what you have. It's not concerned with what you have. The people at the bottom are very concerned with havingness and rate people back and forth on what they have. People are preoccupied with doingness, and people are rated, and their status depends on what you do and all the titles that go with your doingness. As you move towards the top, what people are concerned with is what you are, what you have become, your isness, your beingness, that which you truly are. We're concerned there, a person's status, their value there, is the kind of a person that you are, that which you have become. You have become that kind of a person, and that is what is valued. The willingness then to become a forgiving person who nurtures all of life non-judgmentally automatically brings about within yourself, because of the very healing nature of that energy field, a condition of good health. The beginning to see the perfection of all things, how all things work out for the good. How can illness be held in that context? For the person who is oriented such in the direction in which we're talking today, then illness merely becomes something that is coming up in order to be healed. We look at the illness then as bringing up a lesson. The illness is saying, look at me, please heal what I stand for, what I symbolize. Please heal your guiltiness. Please heal your self-hatred. Please heal your limiting thought forms. Please move up to loving me so that I can be healed. And so the illness is a demand to grow spiritually. It's an incessant gadfly that tells us that something is out. Something needs to be looked at. Something needs to be held in a different way. You see, because it is not the events of life, but how we hold them that creates our reaction. Events in and of themselves have no power to affect how we feel one way or another. It's what our position is about them. It's our judgment about them. It's how we decide to be with them. It's our attitude. It's our point of view. It's the context, the overall meaning that gives the event the emotional power over us. And so we see we are the creator then of the meaning, the impact that it has on us. Stress comes from that very thing, giving it power over our lives, coming from the position of victim, putting the source of happiness outside of our life, denying the power of our own mind. The healing then comes about through the re-owning of the power, the realization that we and we alone create the meaning of any circumstance, event, place, position, or thing, any person in our life. We are the one that creates the meaning. Our position, the way we hold it then, that either becomes a source of healing or a source of illness. We are the one that determines that. We begin to see that the body is like a little marionette. You know, it sort of happily goes about its way, coming out of these energy fuels of joyfulness and gladness. You see, it just sort of does what it does automatically, without much thinking about it. Healthy means we pay less and less attention to the body, and that which we do, which the world would call health giving, is out of appreciation. It's an expression of how we are with that body. You see, we aren't giving away our power as source. Being healthy means you've re-owned your power as source. So we're not giving away the source of health of the body to the world. The exercising we do is out of the joyfulness in experiencing the body. So we don't say that swimming is what causes the body to be healthy. We come from the position that because we enjoy the body, we enjoy its activity, such as swimming. So those activities which the world consider healthy then are coming out of the expression of one's inner sense of aliveness, the joy in allowing the body's expression in ways that the world considers healthy. Not because they're causal, those are the effect. The healthy enjoyment of the body then is the effect of the mental attitude, looking at it as something pleasurable. And therefore we come to a lovingness of the body. No, not a narcissistic self-glorification, not a muscle man picture in the photo magazine, not out of desiringness, not out of pridefulness, not out of narcissism, but out of a lovingness and a gratitude. We say, ah, little body, you've served me well. I love you. I appreciate you. I value you. If we put the source of our happiness, if we put our survival on that which is outside of ourself, our job, our possessions, a particular relationship, then we're merely setting ourselves up for the loss of our health. Because what's going to come up, first of all, is fear of loss. Even though that's not conscious, you know, if the source of your happiness is your title and your position and your address and the kind of car that you have, etc., or even the beauty of the physical body, you are now vulnerable. So that vulnerability is in the unconscious and it stores up a great deal of fear. And therefore, people's lives become endlessly to reinforce and protect themselves from the loss of those things upon which they have put their survival. The healthy person realizes the true nature of who they really are, that they are something far beyond that, that they are the one that gives those things value, temporary enjoyment, but their survival doesn't depend on them. We said that when you move up into this energy field called acceptance, one has stopped giving one's power away to the world. One has begun to accept that I am the source of my happiness. That if you put a person like that on a desert island and come back a year later, they'll have a coconut business going, and they'll have found a new relationship, and they'll have built a tree house in the tree, and they'll be teaching the children algebra. In other words, the capacity to recreate for themselves the source of happiness comes from the realization that I myself am the source of that happiness. I myself am the source of health. It doesn't depend on epidemics. It doesn't depend on what is out there in the world. It doesn't depend on what I eat. When we really realize that, then we begin to transcend and no longer be at the effect of all these false belief systems.